You're very welcome back. Now, my next guest is one of those who feels that smokers are at the butt, are getting the raw end of a deal. Sorry, the raw deal. I'll try that again. John Mallon, Forest Ireland. Not the best intro at all. How are you? Good morning. Thank you so much for coming into us today.
And thank you for the invite.
You're very welcome. I'm tripping over my words, but we've spoken a few times. It's the first time we've met in person. We've spoken on the phone a few times, and you've made the point over the years, and you and your colleagues in Forest Ireland have made the point that smokers, you're not a pro-smoking group. But you're a pro-smokers group, and
exactly.
You feel that smokers are being treated unfairly.
Yeah, it's disingenuous to complain about cigarettes, because in actual fact you're complaining about the person on the end of the cigarette. When people talk about hating the smell or hating the smoke, they're hating the person who has the cigarette. And things like denormalisation, the latest campaign, that's incitement to hatred, anything, nothing short of it. Try to make smokers abnormal or not normal or whatever. It's a horrible thing. But over the years, we've had, 11 years now since the ban was introduced. And when it was introduced, I actually knew Micheál Martin at the time. He told us fair and square that, look, it was just a small consideration to non-smokers. Just get up and go out the door if you want to smoke, and you can come back in and everything will be grand. If that had been the end of it, maybe it would be okay. And at that time, the Gardaí refused. I don't know if you remember, they refused to police the ban. So the HSE took it over. And on one of the tours, and I spoke to you on it, I was campaigning for comfortable smoking rooms, separate to the bar, separate to the restaurant, whatever you like. And there were some great examples of it around the country. And the HSE came stamping in, and they defined a smoking room as a space that had either no roof or two walls missing. In other words, cold, uncomfortable, wet, open to the elements.
But that also means the smoke is getting out and the rest of us aren't going to be breathing in secondhand smoke.
Yeah, but the rest of you aren't. This is outdoors. This is away from the main building.
But it would still need to be cleaned by staff who potentially don't smoke themselves.
Well, the rules in France, and it's set by the medical board there, for hotel rooms, for example, is that a room can be cleaned an hour after a smoker's vacated it. I had a smoking room here last night in Shannon. They're not uncommon. Micheál Martin himself said that that for a smoker in a hotel, they weren't allowed to smoke in the hotel, the main area, but a hotel was a home from home, and that was one thing he said at the time. He said smokers are entitled to have a smoking room in
a
hotel.
But if you take a pub, for example, it's not always practical if someone spills a drink or was to create a mess, it has to be cleaned up straight away by, again, you're potentially putting a staff member into a room where there's a lot of smoke, and that was what we tried to tackle in the first place.
Well, not necessarily, Gavin, because I've spoken to several publicans. One very famous lady up in Donegal, she had outhouses at the back of her pub, and a yard between the pub and the outhouses. She did them all up inside, created one big space, had a television in there, carpeted floor, had it painted. She spent quite a bit of money on it. And most of her regulars, she told me on the phone, were smokers anyway. So they were coming into the bar, getting their coffee in the morning or their pint in the afternoon or whatever, and going quietly out to this room out the back. And that was her reality for several months, until the HSE landed in and shut it down. And they actually told her vindictively, directly to her face, that it was far too comfortable for bloody smokers. Now, that's the kind of attitude, really, this tour is about.
Okay.
We're good, we're normal people, we're ordinary people. There are several myths, for example. I was at the Joint Committee hearing on health in Dublin a year and a half ago now, where the HSE finally stood up and announced that smoking was costing the HSE $550 million a year. Now, that's taking in all possible costs, and it was for smoking-related illness. There is no illness unique to smokers. But even if that were correct, or even slightly exaggerated, the Revenue Commissioner stood up shortly afterwards and said the revenue from smokers was $1,200 million, well over twice. So the smokers are voluntarily left the pubs for the smoking ban, pay all of their own health costs, and the same again for everybody else. They're being very badly badly treated, yeah, I would say.
But you will agree that smoking is bad for your health. Now, it's a personal choice to smoke, yeah, and that's fair enough.
Exactly.
But as well as the financial cost, it's causing a huge emotional cost on families who see loved ones die from young age because of smoking-related diseases.
See, do you know, that's emotional blackmail, Gavin, in fairness.
No, it's not emotional blackmail. It's a fact.
Yeah, but there's a terrible trauma on families in Paris as a result of what took place there.
Of course.
That's life. And who would have thought that was risky going out to the restaurant for dinner. Life is just like that. And any death in a family, of course, is emotionally disturbing, regardless of what the cause is.
But if we can make people live longer and we can collectively get healthier, is it not the role of a government to implement laws that encourage us to do that?
Well, you've actually hit the nail on the head there. You said if we can make people live longer. That's interesting. How do you mean make? Force
them?
Well,
if we can encourage them, it's not...
punish them if they don't comply, isolate them. We're living in a democracy. The F in Forest stands for freedom. We are a freedom organisation, freedom to choose. You're talking about adults. We agree wholeheartedly that young people shouldn't smoke. Wholeheartedly agree with that. But when you're an adult, you have your own job, you have your own money, you're making your own life, you also make your own choices what you're going to do. And it's almost a creeping prohibition with tobacco is happening at a time that they're looking at legalising marijuana, they're going to decriminalise the possession of cocaine and heroin, and for heroin addicts, there's a discussion active at the moment, Minister Aidan Donald Reardon, he wants to set up injection rooms around the country where heroin addicts can go and get free methadone injections under clinical conditions.
Yeah.
And yet, they're after smokers now for smoking outside. They're banning it in hospital grounds. They're banning it in the train stations. This is a creeping prohibition, and it's got out of hand, I think.
Okay, I've got a couple of minutes left.
Sure.
What changes do you want to see? We have the status quo as it is now, which you're not happy with. So what in particular needs to be changed?
Well, for example, cigarettes in this country are twice the EU average in price. If Minister Noonan have them, he would get rid of the smuggling problem overnight. That is estimated to cost anywhere between $250 million a year for illicit tobacco in the country. That would be one good thing. I would like to see, instead of a law banning smokers outdoors, I would like to see a law that says this is where smokers can smoke quite peacefully without being hassled or harried or looked at oddly. I'd like to see this denormalisation thing stopped immediately. There's nothing abnormal about people who smoke. And finally, I'd like to see everybody who does smoke or people considering taking it up to be encouraged to use e-cigarettes rather than tobacco. As the situation we have at the moment, they're being discouraged. There are dark rumours that there's something dangerous about an e-cigarette. There isn't. The head of ASH UK has said they're 99% safer than a cigarette. That you couldn't get better than that.
Well, the head of ASH UK would probably also tell us how bad cigarettes are and that...
Exactly. And he's promoting e-cigs, where in this country, public health are actually damning them at the moment. I think that has to change as well.
Okay. Very briefly before you go, I would suggest a lot of what you're calling for is unlikely to happen. Is the day of the smoker coming to an end in this country if those changes don't happen?
Well, the day of the smoker could come to an end if we were all forced to, if they brought in the death penalty for having possession of cigarettes, if they shot us in the streets. Yes, the day of the smoker come. But where does this coercion, it's funny, coincidentally at the start of the tour, there was a paper published in the Social Science and Medicine Journal in the US, and they were talking about the adverse effects of all the smoking restrictions. And they said it was causing smokers to become stressful, resistance to quitting, relapsing, a feeling of social isolation. They said that it was doing terrible damage, in fact, to ordinary, decent people who are a little bit caught in a whirl with this thing, wondering, where's all this nonsense coming from? All I'm having is a fag the odd time. Leave me alone. And that tends to be the attitude I'm hearing. But there's a resentment growing, I think, among smokers. Just how far are you going to push this thing? Those who want to quit will quit. Those who want to take it up will take it up. It's as simple as that. That's human nature.
Okay. John Mallon from Forest, Ireland. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you,
Appreciate
Gavin.
Your time.
Thank you.
If it matters to you, let us.